How y'all glad to be here this morning, huh? We're finishing out our reading plan, so this is the last book of the Bible. Look on Facebook. I'll be putting out a reading plan for our Advent, and so be looking for that. I'll give you some guidance as we look towards the theme of our Advent that will start next week. But this is the last prophet that we will look at in our reading plan, and it's Habakkuk. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Habakkuk. If you don't know where that's at, it's right after Nahum. So if you would stand for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to be in Habakkuk chapter 1. It says, the oracle, some of your translations might say burden, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity, God, just to hear from you today. As we look at this book and this conversation that you had with your prophet Habakkuk, Lord, may we just draw insight and wisdom to what you are saying to us today. So, Lord, help me preach plain and clear. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life in rightly dividing the word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we prepare for this message, I want to have two thoughts that you write down and think through as we go through this message. And this, the first one is this. You may want to write this down, or you may just want to log it into your mind. Here it is. When I see the bigger plan, I then begin to understand. Say that with me. Repeat after me. When I see the bigger plan, I then begin to understand. Okay, that's the first. Second statement is this. I may not like what I see, but trusting Jesus is enough for me. Okay? So we're going to look at those two things because the book of Habakkuk is unique. Habakkuk is not a prophet who is declaring a word to the Jewish nation. He's not speaking directly to the people of Judah. He's not proclaiming a pronouncement against one of the enemies of God's people. He's not speaking to another nation. The book of Habakkuk is a conversation. It's a prayer between Habakkuk and the Lord himself. And so when we read Habakkuk, we get to lean in and hear the prayer of the prophet. And the prayer that he prays is one that we often pray. The questions that he asks are questions that we ask. He's looking at his nation, and he's not understanding what's going on. Josiah was a righteous king, and he brought reform, and he was moving people towards God. But then in a battle, the Lord allowed Josiah to be killed, and then the king to succeed him was wicked and moved them away from God. And the king after him was wicked and moved them away from God. And the king Zedekiah was wicked and moved them away from God. They led people to idolatry, to sexual immorality, to greed, to adultery, to slavery, to all kinds of ways of the priest and those in leadership were taking bribes and they were mistreating the poor and the unfortunate. And so a lot of injustice was going on and a lot of sin. And Habakkuk looked at this and he says, there's violence all around me. Now, this is interesting. You got to be careful of pastors who are always trying to say this is talking about that in a modern day context, okay? Because the word violence, the Hebrew word for violence is Hamas. That's the Hebrew word. Now, Habakkuk's not, He's not talking about Hamas, as we know it. The group Hamas named themselves Hamas because it means violence. And they're a terrorist group. And they seek destruction. And so they embrace a name that tries to inflict fear into people. And terror they are. And so they are a group that is killing innocent people, hiding behind innocent people as the war goes on, using children as shields. And all that they do is evil and wicked. But we've seen violence throughout all of history. You turn the pages of history and you see Hamas all through history. You see violence all through history. You see Stalin, violence. He was violent. You see Mussolini, he was violent. Genghis Khan, violent. Hitler, violent. We see violence throughout all of history, and every generation has raised the same question that Habakkuk raised. God, when are you going to do something about it? We all wonder, how long, God, until you move? How long until you do something? How long are you going to allow this to go on? Now, is it okay to ask questions to God? Do we have the right to go, God, I don't understand. How long until you do something about it? Is that okay? That is okay. We can ask God any question. We have that right, okay? But on the flip side of that, God can answer however he wants to. Just because we ask the question to God doesn't mean we're going to get the answer that we're expecting. Because he's God and we're not. Okay? God does not have to answer the way that I want him to or expect him to. He will answer the way he decides. We good with that? So we can ask God any question, but he can answer any way that he so chooses. And I may not like what I see, but trusting Jesus is going to be enough for me. And when I can see the bigger plan, it's then I begin to understand, you see. So he's asking God, when are you going to do something about it? And God answers him. And verse 5 there, he says, look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. He says, Habakkuk, oh, you're about to get blown away. Just sit back and listen and watch, because I'm doing something that you can't even imagine that I'm doing. And when I tell you, you're not going to be able to grasp it. He says, you know those Babylonians? That fierce pagan nation that's starting to conquer the world, the ones that have horses that are mighty, the ones that are swift as leopards, the ones that can come in and they are ruthless. You know those guys, Habakkuk? Well, I'm sending them to come and destroy you guys, destroy my people. Now, that wasn't the answer Habakkuk was hoping for. Right? You know, we ask a lot of questions sometimes, and we make a lot of statements, and sometimes we don't realize what we're asking. You know, I've said this before. You have said this before, probably, or thought it. You've heard other people say this before, because we look at America sometimes, and we think, man, when's God going to do something about it? Because look at all of the immorality that we have in our nation. Look at all the sexual immorality, the adultery that happens every single day, the murder, the stealing, the bribery that goes on. I mean, our government's corrupt. We see corruption in leadership. We see corruption in the church. We see corruption everywhere. We see it all around us, and we go, Lord, when are you going to do something about it? You know, and I've heard this statement before. Have you ever heard somebody say, You know, if the Lord didn't come back soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Huh? You ever heard somebody say that? I've heard people say that. I tell you what, you know, we better be careful. Lord, when are you going to do something about all this sin in America? Oh, watch out. Sit back. I'm about to do something that you wouldn't even believe. You know all these nations that are communist and that don't believe me and all of these leaders? Oh, I might be raising them up to come and bring you to destruction. That's how Habakkuk would feel. Sometimes we wonder and we ask, how long? And then God gives an answer and we say, oh, I don't like that answer. And it moves us to the next wondering question is, why? Why, Lord? Why would you use them to punish us, to discipline us, to correct us? Why would you use that nation? Don't you realize what kind of nation they are? They don't love you. They don't serve you. They don't follow you. They don't do. They are ruthless. God, why would you use the enemy who is more sinful than us to judge us? Why would you allow someone who's a bigger sinner to bring judgment on our nation? And that's what we do, don't we? We always underestimate our own sin, do we not? Because if we're going to compare ourselves, if we're going to play the compare game, you're always going to compare yourself to someone who's worse than you. True? Huh? If I go to the gym and decide I'm going to start working out, I'm going to go stand to someone who is more out of shape than me so that I feel a little bit better about myself, huh? And we always compare ourselves and we assume their sin is bigger, their sin's greater than my sin, so they're worse of a sinner than me. When the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we ask these questions. And we ask questions like this. We ask this question, Lord, why do bad things happen to good people? Right? How many of y'all have asked that question? Or if you haven't asked it, you thought it. Why do bad things happen to good people? Have you ever asked this question? Why do good things happen to bad people? Because we don't think we're bad. We think we're the good guys. No, they're the bad guys. We're the good guys. So, of course God's going to do things for me and going to want to always bless me because I'm not that bad. That's a false view. You see, Habakkuk had a little bit of a false view, did he not? He said, God, don't you know how bad those Babylonians are? They don't serve you, do anything for you. We're your people. But wait a minute. What were God's people doing? God's people were committing spiritual adultery. They were worshiping false idols. They were worshiping false gods. They were God's people. They were the ones that were delivered by God himself. They were the ones given the land of promise by God himself. They were the ones that God clothed and fed. They're the ones that God protected. So they, of all people, should have been worshiping him, loving him, and serving him. But they, God's own people, were turning their back on him, praying to stones and wood and committing all kinds of immoral acts. If anyone should have been following the Lord, it should have been them, not the Babylonians. They weren't people who feared Yahweh. They had their own God. They had their own religion. They made up their own rules. They were living it by them. And so in reality, the people of God were actually sinning even greater than the Babylonians, because to know to do good and not do it, who has the greater sin? And so God tells Habakkuk, I'm going to bring judgment on you through this nation. And Habakkuk, man, it spins his mind. He doesn't know what to think. And he starts going through and saying, God, I don't get it here. Because what's going to happen is you're going to let them come and defeat us, and then they're going to brag about how strong their God is, and they're going to think that you are nothing. Aren't you from eternity? Aren't you the God who does all these great things? You know, why is this going to happen? I'm just going to sit back and set myself as a watchtower, and I'm just going to watch. I'm just going to wait. Set in my wonder. The Lord breaks through and tells Habakkuk and says, Habakkuk, okay, I am going to do something about the Babylonians, because after I use the Babylonians to judge my people, then I'm going to bring another nation, and I'm going to judge the Babylonians, because he's doing something, okay? And in the midst of that wonder, as Habakkuk says, as he's in wonder, how long, Lord, and why, as he has those questions, he turns his wonder into a walk. Here's what God says for them to do. In chapter 2, verse 4, he says, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. The New Living Translation translates this verse this way. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Okay? The just shall live by faith. That's quoted 2 times by Paul in the New Testament and once by the author of Hebrews. It's an impactful verse. It's an important verse. It's a verse that's telling us that when I don't understand, when I see the bigger plan, you see, that's when I truly begin to understand. It's telling us just to, even when I don't like what I see, just trusting in Jesus is enough for me. It's telling me that in all of my questions, even when I don't get the answers that I would like, even when it seems like life is going against me instead of for me, even though it seems like everything coming my way is oppressive, I'm just going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking by faith, and I'm going to keep trusting. Why? Because God is doing something. I have to believe that God is doing something bigger than I can ever think or imagine. There is a reason why God started this world. There is a reason why God made mankind. There is a divine plan. What I've got to do is I've got to get the bigger perspective. I've got to understand what God's doing so that I can rest in and trust in the providence and the sovereignty of God. He's leading history somewhere. Where is he leading it to? It's found in verse 14 there in chapter 2. What's he say? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You see that? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water cover the seas. As the waters cover the sea. Now, I want to draw your all's attention to a phrase that pro-Palestinians are using, and young kids in our universities are chanting this. They're saying, from the river to the sea. From the river to the sea. That is a statement that is anti-Israel, full of hate that is a chant desiring the complete destruction of the nation of Israel. That's what that phrase is meaning, okay? They want to see Israel completely destroyed. They want to see the Jews completely annihilated, okay? God formed a Jewish nation. Jesus was a Jewish carpenter, okay? Just so we're clear about what we need to embrace. They feel like if they can get rid of Israel, then they're going to be free. There's many people think that if their nation or if they can get their way, they're gonna be free then. But here's the reality. All humanity is in bondage to sin, and the only way we're going to free mankind is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only way somebody can be truly free is when they encounter a forgiving, loving relationship with the God who made them, and they repent of their sin and place their faith in Jesus, and they come into contact with the God who made them, and they are born again into a new life with Jesus Christ. Because God's doing something. He has a plan. History, it's moving. You see, when he created the world, he created mankind in his own image so that we would be his image bearers, so that we could know him, love him, and steward his creation. We own absolutely nothing. We own absolutely nothing. Do you know that God's purpose and plan for your life is not so that you can live in a nice big house? God's purpose for you is not so that you can wear name brand shoes. Do you know that? I know that shocks us as Americans that God isn't sitting on the throne to be a divine vending machine so that we can go, I think I need this, this, and this, Lord, and we put our little prayer in, and then we expect him to do what we're asking him to do. Do you know that God is not interested in that? He's not interested in your life being free from pain. He's not interested in you being happy. Isn't that a kick? Huh? Nowhere in Scripture do I read that Jesus looks over at Peter and says, "Hey, Peter, are you happy? Huh? Are you feeling good?" No. Because life is hard. It's difficult. He didn't come to bring us a life of ease. He came to redeem us from our sin and to conform us into his own image. And that sometimes means going through pain, going through suffering, going through hardship, going through mockery, persecution. Anything that we go through in life, we got to ask God, what are you teaching me to, how are you conforming me to be more like you? Because I want my wonder, the questions that I have, to be turned into a walk. I want to walk my faith out. I want to be more like you. I want to follow you, and I'm going to trust you. So the pain that I'm feeling, it's just another brick that I'm laying down. Because brick by brick, day by day, I'm building the story of God in my life, and I'm going to stand because Jesus is the rock upon which I stand. And the winds will come, and the waves will come, and the wind will blow, but on the rock I stand secure. So he's moving. In the Old Testament, he said, I'm bringing a Messiah. There's a Messiah coming. And so the prophet spoke of a Messiah coming. He prophesied about that. And there was a movement happening. God was going to redeem humanity through the Messiah. And then Jesus was born. We're about to celebrate that here pretty soon. And you know, do you know when the birthday of Jesus was? Anybody know? He wasn't really born on December 25th. We don't really know when he was born. You know that? But I do. You want to know when Jesus was born? Write this date down. You ready? This is exactly when he's born. When the Father ordained it. At the very moment that God the Father said he'd be born, he was born. And when he was born at the foreordained time, it set in motion the salvation of drawing all men to himself. And Jesus lived a certain amount of years. You know how long he lived? He lived exactly as the Father ordained him to live. Do you know when he died on the cross? exactly when the Father ordained him to die on the cross. You know when he got up out of that tomb? Exactly when the Father ordained him to get up out of that tomb, because he was drawing all men to himself. The reason why God came as man was so that we might be forgiven of our sin. And he's taking us somewhere. Then he called the church and he got the church together. And you know what the church, you know what he called us to do? To go be a witness for his glory. You know what God saved you for? Was so that he could give you a life everlasting and that you could go tell somebody else about who he is, because he's taking us somewhere. There's coming a day when Jesus is going to return and he's going to bring a new kingdom, a new heaven, and a new earth, and it's going to be ruled in righteousness. And you know when that day's going to happen? Exactly when God the Father ordains it to happen. And it's going to happen, and that's where we're going to be. So I don't have to worry about what I'm going through. It's temporary. Life is like a vapor. There's things going to happen in my life that I do not like. But he's taking me somewhere. You know, some of us, we're going to die of cancer. Some of us in this room will die of cancer. Some of us, we're going to drop dead of a heart attack. There'll be some in this room, you'll die in an accident. Some of you will be blessed to live a long life and you'll just die in your sleep. Some of us are going to get Alzheimer's. It's going to happen. Some of you, you're going to go through suffering. You're going to go through financial hardship and you're going to lose things that you cherish, and you may lose your house. I mean, things are going to happen in life, but you know what? I'm going to keep walking. Why? Because God's moving me somewhere. I don't have to worry about the clothes I wear because God's got me robes in heaven to wear. I don't have to worry about what kind of house I'm living in because I know that where he's given me in heaven is going to be greater than anything that I could ever possess. I don't have to worry about my health because I know that when I'm with him in heaven, I am going to be perfect and have a glorified body, never to die again. This body's going to wear out, but the one that I get in heaven is never going to wear out. I might make some bad investments and I might lose some stuff here, but I ain't going to lose anything in heaven. He's taking us somewhere. And what he says is, oh, Habakkuk, you don't even understand. If I told you what I'm doing, you wouldn't even be able to see it. Because I'm doing something greater than you can imagine. I'm taking history and I'm drawing all men to myself. The stirring of the nations. What we see going on right now, we go, Lord, what are you doing? What's going on? Is this something I believe God would say to us, like he said it back? If I told you all right now what I was doing, y'all wouldn't even understand. When we read the Bible, here's what the Bible teaches us. God is in complete control and sovereign over all the nations. And he will raise up kings and he'll set them down at his own bidding. For what purpose? So that the gospel would go and cover the earth as water covers the seas. That the gospel would be proclaimed throughout the entire world. Jesus himself said that the gospel of the kingdom will go forth until the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. You see, he's not setting us up to live in this world forever. He's bringing a whole new kingdom, a new heaven, a new earth. And when our wonder turns into a walk, then we can sing and worship, can't we? You know what Habakkuk chapter 3 is? It's a song. And he sings a song. At the end of the song, he says this: though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, The produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. Paul said a similar thing in Philippians. He said, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be in want. You see, Paul, man, he knew what it was like to have. He knew what it was like to not have. He knew what it was like to have food to eat. Then he also knew what it was like not to have any food to eat. But he said, I've learned this. Here's the secret. I've learned this. That in every circumstance, I have learned one thing: to be content. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He wasn't giving us that verse so that you could max out on your bench press. He gave you that verse so that every single day, even when life doesn't make sense, and even when it seems like life is not going your way, and it's hard and it's difficult, you can say, I can make it. I can make it. I'm going to keep walking. We might say something like this: though the salary shall cease, and the electric be cut off, and if the fields yield no food, and the grocery shelves are bare, if the oil runs low, and the gas prices are too high, if the stock market shall crash and there'll be no money in my retirement, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take comfort in God, my King. Because what matters in life is, am I walking by faith? The just shall live by faith. If no one else will live by faith, I will. This morning, have you begun your walk with Jesus? Has there been a time in your life where you said, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior? I need to trust in God. This is the time to do it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that right now you're giving an invitation. Lord, there's some that might be going through some hardships and difficulties, and they're in the wonder stage. They're questioning, they're wondering, what's going on? What are you doing? I pray that you would give them, that you would give them insight and wisdom and just faith to believe, to walk for you. Just to walk by faith. Lord, if they need to come and receive you as Lord and Savior, that today would be a day of salvation. Lord, for those of us who know you, help us to keep our eyes focused on where you're taking us. Help us to see the bigger perspective so that I can understand what you're doing. And Lord, even when I don't like what I see, I will believe that Jesus is enough for me. So Lord, may I embrace it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Hey, let's respond. Let's come and pray. Let's worship.